This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So Josh, you let loose another, I'm not going to say horrible childhood memory, but just a childhood happening Monday into Tuesday where your dad, very specific about the foods that he'd eat. He needed his tea scalding hot, his pizza covered in a farm's worth of vegetables, and he never met a piece of fish he didn't like to burn to a crisp. How was mom's eating habits?
She was pretty easygoing, lots of cottage cheese.
Oh, God.
And
you were abused, man.
But my father was a very particular man, and he wanted things done a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, got a lot of the all of the things that he enjoyed, I ended up not enjoying in my own dining personal life.
When you know, like in these days, you enjoy a little Indian food, some Chinese delivery. We know we're doing that slum life, but yeah. A man cannot live on bread alone. So now and then when you treat yourself, you'll get a little carry out or delivery. Did the family ever do delivery, or was it all cooking?
It was mostly cooking. We would go to the pizza shop occasionally, but I mean, you know, we didn't, my father was frugal. And I mean, we didn't even have cable. So
really,
yeah,
that's funny because like all my Jewish friends growing up, none of them had cable either.
Yeah, because they didn't want to pay extra.
Neither did Buck. Buck didn't have cable or internet, and that's just out of just her wanting to live borderline off the grid. Until I brought her children into the 21st century and bathed them in media and turned them into maniacs. Is it because they didn't want like outside influences?
Oh, so yes, I mean some people just don't want. Some people don't watch TV, but I mean, I can only speak for my family. You know, they just didn't see a need for extra channels, even though I begged repeatedly.
Well, Josh's dad has permanently changed the way he eats. Hear about it now. Hear why. And we'll hear from you about some of your weird ones. Ugh, there was a neglected text about mixing blue Gatorade with milk. That person needs to have the old Kathy Bates sledgehammer treatment.
Let's try it.
Okay, Mike, write it down. A little later on next week, I'm trying the blue Gatorade milk combination from Tuesday's disgusting, horrible food eating habits discussion. Let's hear about Josh's father's now, though, on Behind the Curtain. If you missed yesterday's program, just another gem from the vault that is Spiegel's mind and history. Your father, very particular eating habits. He likes his pizza crispy,
yes,
almost to the point where it's burnt, covered in all sorts of weirdness. He couldn't have a piece of fish unless the damn thing was slathered in all sorts of strange onions and vegetables. And you said that meal times were not joyous times for you around the house because of the way your dad ate.
No, and you know, I would want a slice of pizza that wasn't crisp and that wasn't covered in vegetables completely, to the point where you couldn't even see the cheese.
It's almost like a salad.
Or the crust, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you order a pizza like that, they charge extra. People want that.
Well, the pizza that he baked would be in the house, and I just wanted one or two slices for myself.
Straight cheese. Mm-hmm.
And he wanted his tea extra hot. Hot, hot, extra hot, steaming hot.
Scald me and sue McDonald's hot.
Every night, I think I told you, had a full course meal. We had a grapefruit, salad, soup.
You said grapefruit?
Yeah, grapefruit.
You're starting dinner off with a grapefruit?
Yeah, that's right.
Whoa. I don't know that.
Salad, soup, in this order.
Okay.
And then the main meal.
Where would the soup come from? Is it like in a can or do they make soup?
Why the f*** are they having grapefruit?
I don't know,
soup
actually.
And salad and grapefruit?
Yeah. And grapefruit? Yes.
We haven't even had the entree yet.
My father was a hungry man.
Look,
a very
that's good
hungry
eating,
man.
Trust me. It's a lot of work, though.
And he liked radishes in his salad.
Yeah, oh. So did my dad. My dad loved the radishes.
Jicama
what is it with
sucks.
You old guys and your radishes? Get them out of here.
Radishes are
they
terrible.
Suck.
They're sour styrofoam. No one likes radishes. No one gets drunk and craves a radish. Is that why you eat the way that you do these days, which you eat very simply? You're a simple man with simple tastes. You like butter in your mouth and lollipops in your... And you don't eat very flamboyantly.
I'm very picky, and I like what I like, and... I think it certainly affected the way I live my life now.
You're a product of your environment.
The
much
trauma.
In the same way, my parents both, man, they didn't finish one cigarette before they brought the next one to their lips, to where I can't even get near cigarettes now. But sometimes it can be the opposite of that. If you have a parent that drinks, you don't ever want to touch a drink, or you just become an alcoholic. In your case, your dad had... grapefruit, Campbell's Select Italian wedding soup, ooh, fish on pizza, and other sorts of weird seven-course dishes.
Yeah, now you'll rarely find me eating soup. You'll never find me eating grapefruit. Salad is a rarity, and I've just started trying to incorporate vegetables into my life for the first time, just because of my weight loss plan. But other than that, I have rebelled. I have rebelled against everything my parents fed me.
Josh's eating habits are directly influenced by what his father put him through, the trauma of Spiegel dinner time. It was anywhere from a 7 to 23 course meal, always beginning with grapefruit, which I'm still trying to wrap my f***ing head around, that you start a dinner off with grapefruit, usually a breakfast item, and you then have soup, and then a salad. And then on days where you might be looking forward to a pizza, your dad would cook it to a crisp and cover it with enough vegetables where you'd think you're just eating a great big salad.
And I forgot to mention, under all the vegetables that completely covered the slice of pizza, he would usually squeeze some ketchup on top of the cheese.
Monster! Monster! I will never speak ill of your two beautiful parents, but no one's perfect, okay? I think we all know that I almost drowned in a pool during a Coke orgy when I was 7, and your dad put ketchup on pizza. Lord knows what skeletons are in Ron and Rita's closet.
I don't know, man.
Horrifying
pretty,
people.
Seem pretty boring.
Black tar
boring
heroin.
Boring ones are the ones you gotta worry about.
Uh-huh, yeah. Looking at you, Cosby. So, we ask you, 410-338-1098, what sort of weird... eating habits did your families have or put you through? Christina checks in and says, my mom hated tacos, never ate Mexican food unless you counted her bland AF chicken fajitas only seasoned with pepper. She would only season things with pepper. No salt, just pepper. Siobhan says, my dad would make a tomato-based gutter fish stew.
That sounds delicious.
I'd have to trust Siobhan here. And then Russell Holly says the food was normal, but the dinner time itself was early because Dad would get home at 3 and dinner would be at 4.
Oh, yeah, we had to wait for my father to get home for dinner. I'd be starving, starving. Sometimes he wouldn't get home till 7:30.
Dude, this f***ed him up.
This is a weird one. My father insists that every meal be served on a hot plate. My mom would heat the plates in the oven to serve on. I do it too, and my kids and boyfriend hate it. Well, stop doing it. Why is this? That's ridiculous.
Break your programming. Oh, that's so, so strange. I remember my father, he would have the bean soup. One day we'll talk to my brother or father about the bean soup, that it was just this, his own homemade recipe, and he'd put like a big pork knuckle in there, and it would stink. Oh, it'd stink. It would smell like you fricasseed a fart. And he'd make enough of it that my brother and I would genuinely get emotional on a Sunday because we knew we'd be eating this for 5 days. And it did not get better like lasagna. Every day it stunk more and began to gelatinate.
Sick.
It's an awful, awful thing to do to a young child. All I want is an Uncrustable. Let's go to the phones. 410-338-1098. To find out what you went through. Let's start with Nathan Westminster. Good morning.
Morning.
I've never even heard of this that's written on the screen. What would your mom drink?
So it wasn't my mom. It was my friend's mom.
Okay.
And she would drink this mushroom that was sitting in, like, she would get, like, a mushroom or some kind of, I don't know, fungus, put it in the vat of jar water, let it sit for, like, 2 months, and then just slowly sip it every day until the whole thing was empty.
Drink fermented mushroom juice.
Yes.
Oh.
I've never heard of that either.
Your friend's mom was Marjorie Deal.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Did she say there's a reason?
Healthy. It was healthy. It cleansed. It brought things that you can't get from normal food.
No.
Et cetera, et cetera. No. I mean, it looked like I don't know what the thing is, but the Metroid, like, jellyfish thing in a jar from the Samus games. Like,
Metroid. Shout out Mother Brain, Kraid, and Ridley. Ugh, yuck. No, I don't want anything that's described as something I'd see in Metroid. Oh, it's so foul. Let's talk to... this is weird. Let's talk to Dan in Frederick. Dan, good morning.
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 What's up, Dan?
Well, not a whole lot. How's it going for you all?
Oh, it's sweet. I'm looking forward to today. I think it's going to be nice and sunny out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, anyway, my dad, growing up, he would go to the store and get the gallon bucket of ice cream that you get, and just vanilla ice cream. Mm-hmm. He'd bring it home, mm-hmm. and every night he would scoop himself a bowl of ice cream, mm-hmm. put chocolate syrup on, not normal there, okay. and then he would follow up with Parmesan cheese and crunched up potato chips.
Oh.
In the ice cream?
In the ice cream.
I may try that.
I'd try the chips. The cheese I'm having trouble getting my head around, especially Parmesan.
I think it's just the salty and the sweet, right?
Yes, that's absolutely it.
That's obviously what it is.
Plus, you've got the creaminess versus the crunch, the salt versus the sweet. You lost me at Parmesan cheese.
My father also would freeze nuts. And at the end of his 7-course dinner, he would buy so many nuts. Like bags and bags, all different kinds of nuts, cashews,
love cashews,
pistachios, almonds.
I mean, me and your father would have got along great.
And he would freeze them so that he would eat them frozen with steaming hot scalding tea. Okay, and sometimes he wouldn't have cake for dessert. He'd take the frozen slice of bread out and put jam on the frozen slice of bread. And I think he put that in his mouth and he'd let the tea melt it in his mouth.
None of these sound that weird to me.
I don't want to tell you.
Tea and
this,
nuts.
Man. Your dad was the Zodiac killer. Your dad was the Zodiac.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, only a person that eats frozen bread with jam, ice cold pistachios, peanuts, cashews, walnuts, and macadamia nuts with tea so hot you could scald meat off bone. That man was writing long letters to the newspaper about what he's done and what he will do again. Man, the pieces are falling in place right now. Old man Spiegel. Let's talk here. Beth in Falston. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ugh.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, great. So my grandfather did the most nasty thing. He would take, like, the most grit white bread, and then he would take a can of that nasty meat, you know, like spam or corned beef, whatever it is, that came in the can, had, like, the little key that you had to unravel.
Yeah.
Shake that log meat out of there. And then it had this, like, gelatinous glaze all over it.
Yeah.
And he would scrape it off and wipe it on his bread like a condiment.
Like the gelatin?
The gelatin.
Oh my God, I'm not kidding. My mouth started to water. My fingertips are getting the tingles. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's
on
gross.
His, like, grit white bread, and then he would just slather that stuff on there, and then his log meat.
Oh,
ew.
Stop saying log meat.
Oh, stop saying log meat.
I'm sorry.
Stop saying slather. Oh, God.
Moist and moist log meat.
Moist slathering log meat.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel behind the curtain on 98 Rock Saturday morning. Thank you for joining us. Me and Spiegs here. Mike is unable to
speak. He has a ball gag in. He's now our gimp. And Justin is in the bathroom giving himself a colonic. This is, what's his name? Tim Fullpower? Tim Fullpower. And during Pitch a Bitch on Wednesday, we go to the phones, and then there's a guy called Tim Fullpower, and Justin knew exactly who he was. He's like, oh, it's Tim Fullpower. He's from Thunder Bay, Canada. No, yeah, and the guy gets on the air, and he's amazing. He's from Canada, and he's ranting and raving about orange juice, and I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. So then the next day, we decided to call him and talk to him and find out a little bit more about Tim Fullpower from Thunder Bay, Canada. And what are your thoughts, Speaks?
Yeah, I didn't know who he was either. But apparently, Justin said he leaves messages on our Facebook page, which I never go to check on. I think we all have our own personal social media pages that we have to take care of, and we can't do everything. Yeah, I didn't know who he was, but yeah, he seems like a crazy person, very enthusiastic, and I don't know. He seems like a lot to take in, maybe in little doses.
Some people were calling him the Canadian I-83. We have that other super fan I-83, oh, and he's like a Canadian version of that. So here it is. It's Tim Fullpower. I like his name. He came up with a cool name. That can't be his real name, right? He thought of that. Tim Fullpower, behind the curtain.
Pitch Bitch Wednesday went well yesterday. Your standard crop. You had everything from complaints about bosses, driving, your generics. And then out of nowhere, we got this dude bringing up.
Can you say that? I don't understand this because we're in the middle of a Pitch a Bitch Wednesday.
Yeah.
We go to the one phone line, and I hear this person on the end of the phone line. I have no idea what the hell's happening. His name is... Apparently, his name is Tim Fullpower. He's on the phone line, and he's going on. He's Canadian. He's going on about orange juice. He's from somewhere up in Canada.
Hell yeah.
Thunder Bay. But you say he's reached out, like, he corresponds all the time. I've never heard this guy once before in my life. Did you ever hear him either?
No, I never heard
him. Where does he correspond? What are you talking about?
Neither one of you checked the Facebook.
No, I don't.
No.
Okay. I got that covered. Well, he regularly sends us voicemail messages.
Oh, okay.
You can do a little thing where you can actually record like a 10, 15 second long. And he like records stingers. These little, like, in the industry, you call them stingers, like when there's a rejoiner after a song, like,
you're listening to 98 Rocks, Justin Scott and Spiegel, the one station that's gonna your family in half.
He records those things and sends them to us randomly, and I love them. The way that you just see me shove my hands in my pockets whenever Josh has new production, like I just can't handle the Josh's Crime Connection, I start giggling. Well, this guy does that, and we talked to him yesterday, joining us all the way from Thunder Bay, Ontario. It's Tim Fullpower. Tim, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Baltimore. How's it going, dude?
How you doing, buddy? Tim Fullpower.
I'm good. It's full power all the way. In Baltimore, you're going to rock out with Justin Scott and Spiegel mornings on 98 Rock.
Yeah!
Now, I didn't get to talk to you yesterday, but I didn't quite understand your pitch a bitch. It had something to do with orange juice. Let's start there. What the hell was that about?
Well, orange juice in Canada is not bad, but when I went to Baltimore last August, I had orange juice filled with vodka, and that was the best, and that's at the Hard Rock Cafe at the Inner Harbor, Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah!
You know, you can do that in Canada. You can just get vodka and orange juice and just combine the two.
But in Baltimore, that's when you rip up the good tunes on 98 Rock.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this guy's a P1. You go to his page, and it's nothing but our logo, 98 Rocks logo, Rock On logo. There's one what looks to be a crashed satellite. Still trying to figure that one out. And you send us little voicemails all the time. You send us little elements saying you're rocking out with 98 Rock. Are you in radio or do you want to be?
Well, I was going to do my own little podcast on Spreaker Web Radio. And I know Justin Scott and Spiegel. I think it's Spiegel that has a little podcast, and it's on Spreaker Web Radio where you do your online podcast. I wanted to do that, but I'm not really in radio. But if I was in radio, I would be your team, and we'll be the new A-team on 98 Rock.
Oh, my God. Get him hired. Get him down here. Bring him down here.
Make sure he's in the union.
Oh, how did you find 98 Rock, and why 98 Rock? Or are we just one of many stations that you're in love with?
Well, pretty much you're the only station I'm in love with.
Yeah! Why us? How did that happen?
Well, back in the day, mm-hmm. when I was searching the internet, when the internet actually came upon, I'm searching the internet, all of a sudden I'm listening to a station, and all of a sudden I hear, you're listening to the Baltimore Ravens, the official flagship of the Baltimore Ravens, and Justin Scott and Spiegel, Amelia, Kirk and Marianne on 98 Rock, but Kirk and Marianne weren't really on there, so you're listening to the Hairball, My New Rewind with Amelia, Rocks Your Workday, Baltimore.
Damn, and that was it. It was love at first listen.
Oh, it's the greatest station in the world. I actually have a YouTube channel on YouTube where I have everything dedicated to Baltimore. I even have an American flag hanging up. I don't like the Canadian flag. It's a cheap maple leaf. I like all the stars on it. And the American flag is the way to go.
Wow.
My God.
Do your fellow Canadians know that?
That's
spicy. All right, good talk.
Hey, do you cuss in any of these videos? Do you use appropriate language?
I can use appropriate language, but if you really want to get dirty, but as long as the listeners like it, you can do it and rip it out and let Baltimore and the world know that 98 Rock is the best station in the world.
Now, I know the reason I ask about the language in these videos, I'm looking at your YouTube channel. You're criminally underfollowed. 3 subscribers. I want to play some of your stuff, but I don't know if it's clean or not.
Everything is clean, and you can play it. So let's rock out Baltimore.
You want me to play a few moments of his... this is his number one video. It's called A Dedication to Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
It's his number one video with 70 views from Tim Full Power. Let's give this a listen here real quick. Hold on. Wow, is this your house?
It's actually my music room. Little museum dedicated to 98 Rock and the Baltimore Ravens.
Where did you get all the 98 Rock stuff from?
I got some made up. I got stickers made up. And that's how much I'm a dedication to 98 Rock Baltimore.
You're making stuff better than we have.
Look at this.
What the hell's going on right here? First of all, cease and desist. Just kidding.
And I have my own little mini studio. It's great, awesome, and it's pimped right out.
Oh, my God. You are so Canadian.
Whoa, you are deep in the game. Look, he's got our logo on everything.
He's got our hat hanging up at the end of a curtain rod.
I'm uncomfortable.
This guy. Whoa, he's got a lock of Josh's hair on his nightstand. Whoa, right around the minute and 4 second mark. Let me back that up, turn that down, and if I can, turn this right up. Got himself a nice little 98 Rock shrine.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Wait, it keeps going, man. The whole room is dead. What are you talking about? Keep going.
Wow.
Everywhere. What is that thing, a 98 Rock mug? Where'd you get the mug?
That mug was a special delivery and a Christmas present. And that mug, when I don't have my 3D glasses in there, I like to watch 3D shows and cool. Well,
crazy.
You can drink some cool coffee and hot chocolate mixed in with it.
We're talking to Tim Fullpower, who's up in Thunder Bay, Canada, 98 Rock superfan. We don't have mugs. We don't have mouse pads. You are pirating our stuff. And I love it.
I love it. Make as much contraband as possible. Make hip packs.
It's nicer stuff than what we got.
I want a Josh Spiegel catheter. I want Scott Reardon corduroys. I want a Mike Anderson ball gag for erotic lovemaking.
What goes on in Thunder Bay, Canada? Tim Full Power.
Well, we have many things that you can do. Sleeping Giant. He's a big giant rock over in the little outskirts of Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. And if you look really close, he's actually holding a guitar.
Sleeping Giants.
What the dude? I don't know what that means.
It's a big rock.
Is that a big rock? Okay.
He's a big rock, and then when it passes midnight, he's just going to rip it out, and he's like, and you're not taking my guitar, and if you take my guitar, the aliens are going to probe you.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, that's Tim Fullpower. All right, buddy. Thank you for checking in. Mike's going to get all your information, and if we need any correspondence from up north, you're our guy.
I wanted to ask him one more thing. Where did the woman throw the poop, Josh? Where was that?
Was that
Ontario?
Yeah, I think it was Ontario.
You know the poop thrower that threw the poop in the Tim Hortons?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay. Outside.
All right,
there he goes. Tim Fullpower.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So, Josh, I have to applaud you for giving us unprecedented access to your life. Monday, you brought in a sample of your urine because you were concerned at the smell. So we sort of put on our urologist hats and gave it a look. And I'll tell you, now that we've had a couple of days to marinate on it, one of my biggest concerns was that I was going to see something horrible.
Mm-hmm.
When you handed it to me. And I tell you what, it's as clear as a crystal stream. There was something floating in it that I've had days to think about it. I just think the cup was dirty. But it wasn't too dark. You weren't dehydrated. The consistency wasn't off-putting. But it did smell like you exhumed the body of a Civil War era soldier. So I would still get that looked at. Maybe it was coffee, some people were saying. Did what we did on Monday, did it make you want to go and get it looked at?
No.
Gotcha.
No, it did not.
Not in the least.
It was, I was thinking more about how, I agreed to do it on, I guess, the Friday before.
Yes, sir.
And then over the weekend, I thought about it and wondered if I had made a horrible mistake. And I was very anxious beforehand, in the minutes beforehand. I really was having second thoughts. Producer Mike was following me to the bathroom as I did it into a Starbucks cup, mm-hmm. empty, I should say. And, even after I did it, I was less anxious about you guys smelling it than seeing it for some reason.
I mean, I've seen pee 1,000 times. It's really not that shocking for me.
So I just thought that, I don't know why, but that's what made me worried.
I take that back. I haven't seen pee 1,000 times. I've seen pee. How many times do you think you've seen pee in your life?
Probably 100,000 times. If you want to do a little bit of math here,
like, let's say two or three times a day for every single day of your life.
Three times a day times 365 days a year. Okay, it's 1,000 times. I'll say I've been looking at my pee since I was 5, so I'll just subtract 5 years. I'm 39. I'll say, 34. Times 34 years. So I've seen pee 37,230 times.
I'm fine. I'm okay with seeing it.
Josh has seen it.
The smell was a little bit weird. And then I thought we got a lot of texts that said the good capper to the bit would have been to take a swig of it.
Oh, God. No. That's a day changer.
Had someone been like,
that's a show changer. That's a show changer. Uh-uh. Well, hear it now. We all took a chance enjoying the bouquet of Josh on Behind the Curtain. Josh, how you feeling?
I'm feeling fine.
Yeah? You look great.
Oh, thank you.
But you're hydrating. You're hydrating. Good point.
I could always stand to hydrate more.
Me too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tito's does not do a body completely good. Lord knows it does my attitude good. Are we going to do this today, Jason?
Yeah, what is happening?
If you want to, we kind of talked about this last week, how my urine smells horrible.
I think you said
the front smells, the stuff that comes out of the front smells worse than the stuff that comes out of the back.
Right.
And we were all very alarmed.
That's
by
the
that.
Worst order.
So, I guess there was a suggestion that I go to the bathroom.
Give us a sample.
Yeah, give us for you to smell.
And?
I haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
But I suppose I could do it during the commercials. Do you want me to do it?
Go to the bathroom now. The back smells better than the front. That's what Josh said. Josh has been taking impeccable care of himself this year. He's on that slim life. He's been working out more. Ugh. You have a glow to your hair. Your skin shines, but yeah. You did say that when you go to the bathroom, it isn't good.
It's so gross.
It's got a bad smell to it. And you famously, for new listeners of the program, when you wash, you don't look at yourself. So you have no idea the condition of your schmeckle. You don't look at your own waste product, which is a good indicator. The body says, hey, it's this color or this shape, what have you.
Yeah, there if it's red, yes. Like if it's red and you don't know it.
For example, coffee grounds in your toilet mean your body is processing and digesting blood.
Oh, my God.
It looks like coffee grounds. So if you have coffee grounds, get your ass to a hospital now. Unless, of course, you just ate a whole bunch of coffee grounds and then you're just a lunatic. And you said that you don't look at yourself when you urinate, which is unhealthy.
That's correct.
We want you to be in the best condition possible. So, Scott, what do you have in front of you?
Well, he went up to the upstairs bathroom, and he gave us a urine sample.
Thank you.
It is in a...
Mike, bring me a tea bag.
It's in a coffee cup. It's in a disposable... Mm-hmm. I wish he would have given us more of a sample. What the hell is this?
Well, I think that should be enough for the purposes. You guys wanted to smell it? See if the odor is as bad as...
Just give it an inspection. I want to make sure you're doing well. Our boss, Rick, running Rick, he believes that you're possibly dehydrated.
Yeah.
Not a good reaction from someone who needs to keep the reaction down, okay? Can't be as loud as that anymore, buddy.
Well, what's the problem?
Oh, he's not allowed to be that loud.
There's some floating there.
Uh-oh.
It could be a hair. It could be a hair. I haven't shaven in a while.
What if there's like a whole coin in it?
Yeah.
Did you have coffee this morning?
Did I have coffee? Yes, I did.
Scott, may I?
Hold on.
And be very careful.
I have the sample here of Spiegel's
urine.
Did
you smell it yet?
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
What? Are you tearing up?
If it's messing with Scott, that's bad. Oh, no.
Wow.
What?
Oh, no.
Wow. What's wrong?
Oh, I sure wish we could get Mike's reaction, but we're not allowed to. Oh, man.
Oh, boy. It's potent, dude. You don't got to get that close. It is potent.
Josh, can I pay you
drink
a compliment
more water.
Right off the bat?
Yeah.
You know what, Scott? To the point that you just made.
Color's not that
the
bad.
Color is not bad.
That bad.
Is it normal?
That's a okay. Decent. It's very it's
it
very
could be
clear.
Paler. It could okay. Be clearer.
It's not that bad. That's all not right. Bad. Honestly, I was expecting, like, when I go on a big bender and just forget to drink water for days at a time because I'm just hydrating with margarita or my own tears.
Yeah.
It's very dark. Bear Grylls taught me that on Man vs. Wild. When it gets very dark and almost viscous, you know you're dehydrated. This does not scream a dehydrated man. Which kind of bums me out, though, because that would have explained why there's a smell coming off it. So I'm going to go ahead and dive on in. You say I don't need to get close, Scott?
Well, I mean, just get close. Just start smelling and move it closer and closer, and you'll get it.
All right.
It is. It is strong.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
I'm sorry.
Josh.
What?
The first adjective that comes to mind is burnt.
Burnt?
It smells like burnt.
Like fire?
I think that's the coffee. Don't, Mike, go ahead. You really can't say anything because you're not allowed to speak on air anymore because of...
He needs a trash can.
Oh, my God. You need to go to the doctor. You need to
go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor, dude.
Go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor, dude.
Oh, come on. What is burnt besides burnt?
It smells like...
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I'm
trying to talk. I'm having a lot of trouble.
It's all burnt.
He didn't undersell it.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my mouth is watering.
It smells like something that's very badly burnt.
Oh, God.
Like
your
like,
prostate.
You juke.
Oh, yeah.
You've just incinerated your prostate.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's like a pecan or a walnut. Have you ever had a shoe fly pie?
No.
Shoe fly pie is part of Dutch Pennsylvania. The Amish just can't get enough of them. And if you burn one, though, there's a lot of nuts and a lot of sugar. Yeah, but if you burn one, it's got a very distinct smell to it. Like if you've ever made cinnamon rolls, Pillsbury cinnamon rolls, and you're like, oh no, I left them in the oven. That's exactly what it smells like. It shouldn't look as good as it does and smell as bad as it does.
I've had... No, but when... Like, what have you had to drink today?
I've only had coffee.
Yeah, that's straight coffee, dude. When I go pee-pees after, like, just having nothing but coffee all morning, it smells very similar.
I just want you to feel better. Oh, it's so horrible.
Just hydrate more, dude.
I don't know if that's just... I don't know if that's it. I feel like there's something in there.
What was floating...
Did you see the
Oh, no. Oh, no. Hand it back.
Spec, there's something floating in there. Looks like...
All right, let me see what we got. It's probably from the cup. That's gonna
work. No, I think it's from his insides.
Oh, no. No, you're not kidding. There's a little shadow. I'm having trouble... What do you... Josh?
Yes.
Is that a little something in there? Is that, oh, I'm seeing two things. I'm seeing a small black pepper speckle. I'm not sure if you've got Montreal steak seasoning in your urine, but there is some.
Is it a hair?
Nah, it's like a sludge.
Because I haven't shaven in a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it really holds on to the side of the cup, doesn't it? Really holds on to. Yeah,
it's
this
got
is
legs.
It's got legs. Yeah, this is one of those things. I might hit up Sandy Siegel at Chesapeake Urology. Say I am buttoning it up. My diet is great. Your skin has never looked better. I mean your face, your arms, your neck, everything's shrinking. But this is something you need to get looked at. It's your body saying something to you. Like, I'll just say, my semen is jet black. So I know I need to go talk to someone. This, on the other hand. Oh, my God. We have to throw this into the
get
forest.
Get it out of here.
Mike, throw that in the woods.
Mike, get it out of here.
Mike, go leave that in the break room.
Gag order Anderson, get it out of here.
Go leave it in the break room for someone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Put it next to
No!
You.
No! God!
I thought he was going to throw it.
Oh, man.
Woo! Yeah, I think you need to hydrate more.
Milk,
it's not as bad as I thought it would be. We're not doctors.
Mm-mm.
And that's not how you inspect a urine sample, but that's how we do it.
That's what we do.
We just look at it and smell it.
Just get looked at. Like leave now.
Tomorrow I'll poop into a cup
for
you guys.
No, that's where I draw the line.
Okay.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So Josh did a follow-up to a story that he did last week about a 30-year-old man from New York whose parents tried to evict him, sent him letter after letter, and then, I believe it might have been Tuesday night, verdict handed down, he's gotta go. So we received, let me see if I can pop these back open. We got some additional messages throughout the show that were so scary we didn't get a chance to get to, so I'm glad we're doing behind the curtain. Listen to this one that came in from Michael Link. He said, my brother still lives with my father. He stole my father's life-saving medication and has pulled a knife on my mother, my son, and my other brother when they were visiting him. He's stolen upwards of $7,000.
Sounds like he might need that medication.
Well, yeah, that's like every...
That's good insight.
It's like every episode of Intervention I've ever seen. I would imagine there's drugs involved. And I would imagine, I'm not trying to place blame here, but there's definitely someone that's enabling him to stay there.
Kristen writes in also, says, my 50-year-old brother has been mooching off my 72-year-old mother for years. He quote-unquote works from home, but doesn't pay bills, doesn't rent, doesn't contribute, and claims medical issues whenever he's asked to take care of mowing the lawn or shoveling the snow. Whenever they try and kick him out, he turns the conversation around and makes her feel incredibly guilty for not loving him. Oh, you
that's mom.
Suck.
Mom's enabling.
Yep.
So it's tough. Look, I can imagine, right? It's your kid, and you don't. It's got to be hard booting your kid out on their ass and just letting them fend for themselves. But you got to do it, man. Tough love, right? You can't just fold like that.
Well, I look forward to you guys talking about this with me in about 20 years from now, as every child I live with ain't going nowhere. Coming up on Behind the Curtain, a 30-year-old was evicted by his own parents. Speaking of winning, the parents of Michael Rotondo. They finally won in court. Mark and Christina Rotondo have forced their 30-year-old son out of the damn house. They evicted him. They've tried to help him. They gave him $1,100 to find a place. They gave him multiple chances. They said, we'll help you find a job. And then Neckbeard Von Magic the Gathering was, I do my own laundry. And won't get him out.
Get him out. Get him gone.
Peace hit the bricks.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Space. Don't you want your own space?
Don't you?
Be able to pleasure yourself wherever the hell you want, whenever the moment strikes.
That's what I'm talking about. You can off in the kitchen.
Like, is he still, like, living in his childhood bedroom?
And
sleeping
I get
in his
it.
Childhood bed? Or did he upgrade to the basement?
Oh, he's got a race car bed.
I read that the mother slept in one bedroom, the son slept in a bedroom right nearby, and his dad slept in the basement.
Oh, that family's all out of whack.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot going on there. Yeah, once mom and dad, husband and wife, are sleeping in separate bedrooms, it's hard to repair those bonds. And the world has gotten more expensive. College is insane. You read those infographics at certain points that someone in 1970 could put themselves through college on minimum wage, and these days you have to hack off an arm and sell it for the meat and bone to be able to make it through a semester, maybe just get textbooks. The world's gotten expensive. It's not easy to move out. But anything worth doing ain't supposed to be easy. You moved out, Scott. You got out, Josh. Hell, Josh is living on his own at the age of 11. Mike, he's living at a home on his parents' property. They own the entire apartment complex. That's not true. Mike's out on his own. And same thing. The minute that I knew that I scrounged up enough cash, see ya, Christmas, Dad. And I know that it's difficult to scrounge together that type of money, but then you see this guy. This dude didn't want to move out. This guy was milking the system.
Yeah.
He was taking mom and dad to the woodshed financially. Because you played the audio of him earlier, Josh, and he was talking about, I have business ventures. Do you? Do you have business ventures? What are you into, like cheese identification, Call of Duty coaching? What are you doing? What's your business? Because there's all kinds of footage of this guy with his long. By the way, quit fidgeting with your hair when you're talking to the press. This guy, this flabby, just pale, wannabe Conan the Barbarian, he's messing with his greasy Wesson oil-infused locks the whole time. He can't stop fidgeting with his hair.
Maybe he was nervous.
I don't think this guy was nervous. I think this guy has a turgid occurrence underneath of his ill-fitting slacks for the attention he was getting. He looked like he really liked the attention.
And this is a huge thing in Europe, too. I remember seeing a special on this in Europe, and I found a map that says many young Europeans live with their parents, especially in Southern and East European, ages 18 to 34. Like, if you go to Italy, for example, 60% still live with their parents.
I bet they're contributing in some way,
maybe,
shape, or form. This guy just seemed like a tick. He was just dug into the ass meat of these two. Again, I got relatives that do. My brother. I've got friends. But they all contribute in a way. I get that. You know, I think some parents would be like, hey, live here until your 20s, until you can save up and, you know, live the life you'd like to. But while you're here, you're going to lend a hand. You know, grass, gas, or ass, no one rides for free. I think this guy just ain't doing that. Josh Spiegel, News Genius, regaled us with the tale last week, and then an update this week. Last week, you were telling us about parents that were attempting to evict their son, Michael, 30 years old, New York. They sent him letter after letter after letter after letter, and they finally had to take him to court. And the results were?
The judge ruled in the parents' favor.
Time to get up and to...
Get him out.
Get him out.
He's got to be out in 30 days.
You're going to be living on the street, white boy. You hear about them giving him $1,100. he just blew that on something. He said bills. What bills do you have? Okay. It definitely isn't on Pert Plus because you look like you rub olive oil into your hair, and it ain't on Mach 3 blades because that face is a disaster. So what the hell is with this guy? What the hell is with the freeloaders? The failure to launch. 410-338.
Come on, man. But he says they weren't doing his laundry and they weren't providing him food. That's the two main reasons you move in with your parents. My mom would definitely do all my laundry, and I would have meals at all times.
I'd be too embarrassed.
Are you kidding me?
To let my family do my laundry. It's a mess.
She's seen it all.
Let's go to the phones. What is the situation? Let's talk to Jody in Mount Airy. Jody, thank you for holding.
Hi, guys. First, I want to say I love your show. So my 31-year-old sister lives with my parents.
Oh, God.
She works full-time but doesn't contribute to any of the bills in my parents' house.
Whoa!
She comes and goes as she pleases, and then when my mom gets upset with her for coming in at midnight and making a ruckus, they get in yelling matches.
Yeah.
My sister has also stolen money from not only my parents but my grandmother.
Is she on drugs?
No, just to go out and party. She would go to bars and then post pictures on her Facebook page. And recently, I confronted my sister as I'm a single mom of three. I live on my own. I work full time.
Hell yeah. Look at you making it happen.
I
can tell just by the tone of your voice that you are pissed about this.
It is. It does piss me off because my parents... She has stolen probably in the whole time she's lived with my parents about $10,000.
Whoa! Have her arrested. Screw kicking her out.
Yeah, and this is over a period of time, so it's just little amounts every single time. Recently, my mother and father saved up money to do their taxes. They're not very tech savvy, so they have somebody do their taxes for them. And my parents went to go give the money to the lady, and the envelope was empty. It was $250.
What efforts have they made to get her out of the house? Have they issued ultimatums, changed locks?
My dad has tried to make her leave, but my mom is very much a pushover.
She's the enabler. Mom's the enabler.
But it upsets me because, my parents, they want to retire. My mom's a school teacher. My dad's a mechanic. He was in the Army for a very long time. And the fact that my sister just doesn't respect my parents, I mean, she's constantly going to Ravens games and Orioles games and going out to bars with her friends. And
Is she someone that, and I've heard of this before because there's people in and around my family, that she doesn't live with her parents. Her parents live with her. Does she sell it to other people when they're like, how are you going to Ravens games? How are you going out? How are you hitting the scene and then going home? How does she sell it to people that she's like this?
I'm really not sure. I know that with my parents, she's like, oh, well, my boyfriend bought me tickets. And, she always constantly tells my mom, well, he has passes. He has passes. He gets them from work. Well, her boyfriend doesn't do that. I mean, and the thing is that, she's over his house more than she's at home with my parents, but then she comes home and asks for money, and then my mom doesn't give it to her.
I thought she works full-time.
She does work full-time, but she doesn't make enough money to even pay her car.
Oh, wow. God. Well, thank you for the call, love. Damn. Thank you so much. Mike, I'm going to put her on hold.
I want to get her sister on the air.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe get her info. See if we can get the sister on the air. I'd love a point counterpoint. Maybe there's someone in Buck's family. The reason I brought that example up, this guy sucks. He's a wannabe rapper. He's got a $40,000 automobile, $10,000 with a tricked outedness to it, lives in the guest bedroom of his retired parents' homes and tells people that they live with him. And it's like, no, you don't. You zilch. You're just draining them dry. Let's go to... Amon in Hyattsville. This sounds like the story that Josh just did. Good morning. Amon, am I saying that right?
It's Damon.
Damon, okay. It says Amon here. Damon, all right, what's up?
Hey, yeah, it was 4 years ago. She's out now.
Good.
But 4 years ago, it was the daughter... And had dropped out of school and, wasting my cash. And I said, okay, it's time for you to go. And after sending the notes the whole nine yards trying to push, I finally did take her to court. And unfortunately, at that point in time, I had filed the wrong type of tenant paperwork because she wasn't a tenant because, again, she was not paying rent.
Right.
And basically, the judge said, okay, here you are. You know, if you don't, you know, do something, then 2 weeks later, she would be, you know, in the same situation and you put her out. Well, that didn't, you know, sit with her too well. And she ended up staying in the house for another year while I tried to give her some more chance. And then finally she found a friend and they ended up moving out. And that was 4 years ago.
And how is the relationship now?
You know, as I say, she does what, you know, grown people do. She calls every now and then. I do still pay her phone bill.
Does she resent you, though? Is she pissed at you for booting her out?
I don't know. I can't really tell, you know. Starving artist, as far as I know.
And refresh me again, how old is she now?
Be 24.
And you're paying her phone bill.
That's young. 24, man.
Pay her phone bill.
It's tough.
Yeah, okay, thank you for the call, but yeah, that's
still young.
That's in the window of acceptability. Now, if she's stealing stuff and doing all that sort of crap like the prior caller, no good. Let's see who else been holding here for a second. Let's go to Taylor in Brunswick. Taylor, good morning. Talking about people that fail to launch.
Hello.
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 So I've been living with my parents on and off. When I was 16, I moved in with my father. And then I think around 2 years ago, I moved back with my mom. She was with a guy who was less than productive and less than beneficial for her. So she had requested that I move back to help her stay mentally stable.
Right.
Since then, I do things around the house. Like, I think last week I hooked up a dishwasher, I replaced lights. I, you know, I hold my own. I do my chores.
So okay. you helped out. She asked you to move back in because she needed a little support system. You're contributing. I'm all good with everything I just heard.
I got no problem with that. I got no problem with that at all. Let's go ahead and talk to James in Baltimore, who is the provider. You say you've still got two girls living at home. What are the ages?
It's actually two boys, 21, 24, and they moved their girlfriends in.
Oh, so you have two girls living at home with your... Oh, my God. What fresh hell is that?
Yeah, how much sex is going on in that house? Ugh. Jesus! What's going on over there?
Yeah. It's definitely out of control to the point that I actually made the decision with my 10-year girlfriend that I'm moving out.
Wow. So where are you guys going? So you're just leaving the house? You're abandoning the fort while the savages overtake it?
There's warning beforehand.
And whose kids are these? Your kids?
They're not my kids. They're her kids.
Oh, brother.
So she's got a 21 and 24-year-old boy. Boys, they still live at home, and now their girlfriends have moved in. Yeah, hit the road, dude.
Hit the road, Jack. Go. Go by yourself.
Get out.
Go by yourself. Start afresh. Start fresh.
Definitely happening. Definitely happening.
There he goes.
Mike's is line three.
Let's go to line three. Let's talk to Bonnie, Chesapeake Beach. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm seeing some numbers on screen here that might set a record.
Unfortunately, yes.
Go ahead. What is
it? Yeah, my 69-year-old brother, he works, but my mom makes his bed, does his laundry, cooks for him. He can't, you know, he doesn't want to take care of himself.
How old is she?
69?
She'll be 88 in July.
Oh. Your mom is 88, and she's taking care of your 69-year-old brother who still lives at home.
And my 58-year-old brother hasn't had a job in 30 years and says, well, I didn't ask to be born.
Oh, wow. They suck.
Wow. Oh. Any kind of mental disabilities there with either of them?
My older brother, no, but my younger brother, I think so.
Okay. Well, then the older brother.
I don't think he's ever been treated for anything, but. Right. He's my mommy's baby.
Oh, meanwhile, you're out there pounding the pavement, keeping a roof over your own head, doing the damn thing. Is that frustrating for you? I mean, like, why did I have to work so hard? And meanwhile, they're just getting a ticket to ride.
Well, like I said, you know, I enjoy my life. I've been out since I was 18. I joined the military and did my own thing, and I have been enjoying life where my younger brother, he's been up in his room most of the time.
Oh,
it's like, really?
God. Yeah, there's got to be something going on. That's insane!
Yeah, that's not an existence.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel behind the curtain. Saturday mornings, 98 Rock. And they're here. They're in town. And that's why I'm here at the station on a Saturday morning. This is definitely not recorded. We are live at the studio because I had to get away from my parents. They're already driving me nuts. No, we called my mom earlier in the week, and I forgot I wanted to tell her to not get sucked out of the airplane on the way up here. I forgot to do that because it seems like that's what's happening. And I wanted to tell my dad not to pee on the back of the seat, not to have too many vodka sodas and pee on the back of the seat, because the airlines are now just the Wild West. It's insane. But they had a fine flight, and they made it here lickety-split, about 2.5 hours up from West Palm Beach to Maryland to see the new house. And I don't know what else to say, but we called my mom, and she dropped an S-bomb while on the air. She's that comfortable with us that she just felt like she was just hanging out talking with the boys.
You know, it's a good problem to have.
And I love her, and she's great on the radio. She's been on the radio with us for years. I wonder, you think the listeners enjoy my mom?
I think so. I mean, I don't check the texts or any feedback. What do we see?
I didn't get much this past appearance by my mom. I don't know. I don't know how. Well, we're gonna play it. Judge for yourself. I don't know how great it was. The problem is she goes like very. You'll hear coming up like a minute into the conversation, she immediately gets like super heavy about like getting old and not seeing your kids and thinking about life and what's important. I'm like, whoa. And then she says that Scotty and us, we're going to have a talk when we're up there. And I'm like, we're having a talk? What? I didn't know that. And it's all about them, you know, my brother's in North Carolina and I'm here and they're in Florida and we don't see each other that much. And Stella's growing up and they're missing that. So life sucks. Then you die. Here it is. My mom behind the curtain.
All right. Joining us on the program, they're making their way to town today. I believe she's the angel of mercy. She created Scott. She is our show mother. She is Rita Reardon. Good morning, my sweet.
Hey, sweetie. How's everybody?
How you doing, beautiful?
Good morning, mommy.
We're good.
You excited?
Good morning.
Excited for the big trip?
Yes, I am. I haven't seen you guys in a long time, and I miss everybody. It's lonely sometimes.
I forgot whether or not, since Scott has purchased his new plot of land, 7-acre Reardon Estates, you've seen the new home already, correct?
Yes. When he moved in, we were there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they were here. I mean, they literally helped us move in that weekend, but that was it. They haven't been there since, so it's been a while.
Yes.
It's been since September.
Ah, now they're all settled in. Furniture's been delivered, and wait till you see that lawn. Oh, Mama Reardon, wait till you see that lawn.
He'll make his father proud. That's Ronnie's little expertise there. He was excellent with the lawn in New York, and I'm sure Scotty picked up a lot of good tips from Dad.
I'm trying. I'll show
sure
him.
You're got some problems. It looks great.
We got some problem spots, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, takes time. But I am excited. I can't wait to see everybody and just hang out and just feel like family again. When your family's scattered all over, you just have like a little empty space there.
You sound a little like you're a little depressed, like a little empty nest thing going on.
You're getting sick of dad,
and you just kind of...
Oh, no. It's just, you know, you're getting on in your years, and you're thinking, where should you be? Should I be in Florida? Should I be closer to the kids and my other son and his kids? You know, it's a tough decision, but we are going to come up and talk with Scott and see what his wisdom is.
What? We're having like a talk? Can you? Damn, this is getting so real,
Rita,
man. What the hell just happened?
Are you considering a relocation to possibly Maryland to be close to Scott and Chiquita and Stella?
It would need to be. This is the way everything happens in our family. Because they have two children. It needs to be very democratic, that it can't be Maryland because...
Correct.
That it would need to be somewhere in the middle.
Correct.
Between North Carolina and Maryland.
No, I moved to Maryland next to your favorite.
Easy. They don't have favorites.
Ronnie and I have always treated Scott and Christopher equal, you know, as best as we can, and we do one more for something, we try to make it up for the other one.
And I'm also assuming that you're not going to fully relocate, but you may have a residence.
Yeah, I think we're going to, we're considering maybe selling the house and just going to the condo that we have.
Oh, look at you guys. Wow, wow. Living the lifetime.
Well, you saw the condo, and it's really nice there. And possibly, like you mentioned, somewhere in between and a home. You know, I don't know what it would be. It's just a thought. Dad and I, Daddy just brought it up the other night. And it's difficult.
Hey, let
it's
me ask difficult. You this. How is a Pops doing, our grandfather, your dad? He's how old, 94?
Yes.
And you put
yes,
him,
we were there
him,
yesterday. It was very
come out, please. Why don't you shut up? Yeah.
Hey.
Who's this?
Hey. So he's in a he's in an assisted living. I don't. What do you call it? That sounds so gross when I say it.
No. It's actually, Scott, it's beautiful. He gets three meals a day. He gets three meals a day, and that's the assisted living. He gets the laundry done. They clean his room, and he's in a beautiful facility. It's really very nice, and he's still adjusting. Let's put it that way. He told a lady yesterday, "Shut up your mouth."
Shut your mouth, please.
Yeah.
Why not you shut up?
Oh,
he's right on target, people. Oh. He says, "I take ten a coolie tupa grande." She had a big butt.
Big butt. Tupa grande.
Fat ass. Oh yeah.
But he's losing his mind.
Hell yeah.
But he was trying to eat breakfast or lunch, I'm not sure which, and she was quite large, and she pushed the chair all the way back, so Pops was, like, scrunched, and she's complaining. He says, then he said, no, I spat. You know what he tells her? Besides that, he said, why don't you drop it dead?
Whoa! Come on, dude, this is not cool.
He told her to die?
Look, I get it, you're getting old and stuff. His brain is just turning to mush.
Oh,
no,
I think he's just,
you know what
he's getting honest.
He's on a roll. I just let him talk for a good half hour there. It was talking, and part of it was, you know, putting me down and Aunt Carol and everybody in the
hell
family, and
yeah.
I'm like, nice visit, isn't it?
I love it because when you get
why
to
is
be
he turning mean,
he's being honest. He's that's all it is.
No,
like,
he's not. He's,
oh
he's,
man,
he's yelling at my mom. Being honest about what? Yeah. Yelling at my mom and
he's
my aunt.
He's just
there's
saying
no
the
honesty
first thing
there.
That comes to his mind. Like when you're our age and you still got to be diplomatic because you got to work around people and be around
people
for decades.
I understand what you're saying.
This guy's just telling people to go themselves. I love
no,
it.
I get
oh, he's.
That's,
let me tell
it's
you,
beyond honesty. I know what you're saying when you. You have zero F's left
to
give.
You just don't care anymore.
But when you're just being mean to people.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, he's. It's. I don't know if it's mean.
Oh, Mom.
You're on the radio.
Mom, working blue.
Mom. You just cursed.
I forgot. Anyway, he wasn't taking anybody's crap. And that he was. I'm going to stick up for myself. Okay.
All right. Damn.
So we're waiting for the letter.
Yeah,
unfortunately, you have been discharged.
Yes, from Forgotten Acres.
I love that she just laughs about it. It's all you can do, man.
I love it.
No, yesterday I was a little upset. I was. Because Carol and I and everybody else do a lot. And he says it days. You know, sometimes he'll say, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Don't worry about me. Take care of your husband. He's very good. But when somebody twists him the wrong way,
watch out.
Forget about it. Because
yeah. Who's this?
That's right. Everybody's going to be in that conversation. No matter who you are, what you do for him, you're going down.
Well, I'm glad you and Ron are coming to town.
Yeah,
I'm going to try and swing by on Saturday, firing up the grill. I'll bring that horrible brood of children. And
there's going to be a lot of
kids. No, I want to see them. What are you serious? I'd love to meet them.
You want to meet one of them, okay? The rest of them are just disasters, but I'll let you meet the tiny one.
Stop it.
Snot-nosed little cretins are just going to ruin the whole day. I can't
see Spiegel, too, Mom.
Oh, yes. Beautiful Josh will be there with his children.
Wow! Wonderful! I can't wait. Can't wait to see everybody.
Just make sure you do not sit where he's at.
Nobody sits in my chair anymore when I'm not here. This is my chair.
I'm going to have a chair with his name on it.
No, that's okay.
Oh boy. I don't know. Josh, you play well with others?
Yes.
Have a safe flight.
Thank you.
See you at the airport. I'll pick you up and we'll have an awful weekend.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Twitch streaming. We're trying to figure this out ourselves. I think I have a relative grasp of this, but you know, you gotta go where the people are. And we got a great fan base, but you know, we're always looking to scoop up some younger folks, and they seem to be into Twitch. And you can just stream you doing whatever. It seems primarily for video games. And there's ways you can make money off of this thing. Obviously, I don't think we're going to be making any money off of this thing quite yet. But we have our own Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/98RockBaltimore. And at some point, like the way Vine disappeared, MySpace disappeared, Instagram got swallowed up by Facebook.
What?
You try,
Instagram's doing fine.
Instagram is part of Facebook now. It was its own entity, and then Zuckerberg bought it, and now it's doing its own thing. I actually prefer it to Facebook.
Yeah.
It's like you want to go where the people are, but then you had certain people. There were Vine stars. There were actual Vine stars that were making money. Anybody remember the Ratata guy? Mr. Ratata? He was just this stupid wannabe Post Malone nerd that would make this machine gun sound. He was making thousands a month off of Vine, and then Vine goes away. So you're going to be sitting there when the music stops without a chair to sit in.
I'm just pissed because I've completed it yesterday, by the way, the final mission of Far Cry 5.
Shout out.
But yeah, over the last, however, 3 months or so, I've been spending hours playing this game where I could have been twitching it, and I think I would have been pretty good at it.
Yeah, you're oozing with personality. You probably get pissed when you get shot in the head for the 50th time.
Hell yeah, dude.
The things that came out of your mouth.
Oh my God.
You could stream and people would be slapping their knee red laughing at.
I could have made a ton of money.
Sitting on money. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll start doing some Twitch streaming outside of the show. Coming up, we'll see what the year holds for us. You taught us about Twitch on Behind the Curtain.
Know about that Twitch?
Yeah.
Know about that Twitch?
We're in a Twitch sitch.
Twitch sitch. Twitch streaming.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell we're talking about.
It's,
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Apparently, you were yesterday talking about it, and now we're on it. I don't even know what that means.
We're on Twitch.
We're on Twitch.
Details
is that how you say that?
Forthcoming about being on Twitch. Boy. How do we get into this? Okay, so you've got Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Scott, you are Pablo Picasso when it comes to Facebook Live, and you did it at Preakness. We'll do it at events. You'll hold up the camera. You'll live stream something, and then people can comment. You can see the comments in real time. You could shout people out. You did a live Q&A with Mike Anderson from there. And Twitch, it's mostly a gaming site. It's twitch.tv.
Twitch.tv. I'm going to go there right now.
Go to twitch.tv. Okay. Now,
you're following along.
It's primarily a website that people use, a service to live stream gaming. People that will do like Heroes of the Storm, they'll do Overwatch, Call of Duty, people Twitch Minecraft. The same way Josh will watch 60 Minutes and I will watch Say Yes to the Dress, Bridesmaids Edition. My children watch Twitch. It's like a television show, and they'll just watch people game. And you can get donations. People can make, they can gift you things. And now people moving outside of gaming, such as ourselves, are using it to stream their content. Now we've got great stuff with the app. App's kicking ass. You can live wire us. Whenever we go to facebook.com/JSS Live 98 Rock, JSS 98 Rock, earlier, Michael Anderson was able to get footage of Amy Eveleth bringing in a Chinese alligator.
Uh-huh.
Well, Twitch is where the kids are going.
Twitch is the future.
Twitch is it. And we have joining us a good friend that we know this man from Twitter because he is the creator. He's the prime minister. He's the purveyor of the Justin Scott and Spiegel International Gaming Crew. He's organized people from around the world that will game on our behalf. They're just fans of the show from multiple countries that will gather together online. They'll play whatever the hell they want to play, whether it's Fortnite or Battlegrounds or whatever else. And Awesome Rob joins us, the solar-powered skipper. What's up, Rob?
Good morning, guys. Y'all are way too nice.
Hey, how you doing,
it's
sweetheart?
Like the country.
That was Justin. I don't know who the hell you are.
Yeah.
Now, what? No. What are you gonna do? You know what's up with this? You know about Twitch? Are you a Twitch expert or a Twitch aficionado?
I can't be. That's probably the closest you'll get.
How can we make Twitch work for us?
Well, the Chinese alligator thing, there's also Twitch.IRL. You can do your in real life stuff. It doesn't have to just be games.
Twitch.
What's IRL?
Twitch IRL.
Yeah.
In real life.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're not good with acronyms around here. All we know is SMD and GFY. So.
Okay. Yeah. I found it. Twitch IRL. New to IRL. Learn more. And it's here's a guy. I don't know what the hell. Looks like a guy's making pancakes. Here's somebody bowling. And this is what? Just people that Twitch their lives?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Yeah, you start with games and then you go to everything else. When you're not live playing games, you're live doing whatever.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, too, there's people out there raking it in doing these Twitch streams. Sure. Like they're millionaires. Yeah. They're literal millionaires from setting up a screen, like a green screen behind them. They'll Twitch themselves playing a game, and then people can make like donations, and there's ads that are sold to where you got guys playing Fortnite that are living in mansions. Am I incorrect or correct there?
You're correct. Twitch is owned by Amazon. You can subscribe and you use your Amazon Prime to get Twitch Prime. And once you have Twitch Prime, people are sending money to you every month.
Talking to Rob Richberg now. Do you is that how I say it?
Do you Twitch?
Yeah.
You
I
do.
Twitch. I do Mixer. I do. Sometimes I've done Facebook. You know, you can stream to Facebook too.
And what are you doing on Twitch?
Just playing a lot of video games. I like to play the Jackbox Party Pack. You know, we do the community game night, and that's where you can get everybody together, and they can all play with you. All you need is your phone.
Do you have a job?
Watch the stream on the TV. I do.
What kind of job do you have?
Let's say I work in a hospital.
Oh, really? No.
And do you Twitch while doing operations?
No, I don't. Okay. I only Twitch when I'm home.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your boy, Awesome Rob here, and we're about to crack this chick's head open and figure out how big this tumor is. Be sure to smash that like button and continue to donate as we crack open a rib cage and maybe scoop out her heart also. Hey, shout out to all my Fortnite heads out there. How sweet is that new Thanos? I want to have this thing work out first because I feel like this is where the kids are. We need to go where they are.
Do we?
I know.
What?
We got to maintain relevancy, man. We got to go where the youth are. And I feel like the youth are on Twitch. I'm desperately.
It definitely helps.
I'm clinging to my youth right now.
YouTube thing has fallen off. It's all about Twitch these days.
It's just there's so many, platforms now that it's just, how the hell do you keep up with it all?
You keep it all uniform. I don't know how to do it.
Even our digital guy, it's so much now. How do you do it all?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm bad at it. There's a lot of stuff.
All right. Well, you're bad at it. We're going to use you for it. Rob, thank you so much. Part of the JSS International Gaming Crew. Can't even tell you how to find it. Just follow him on Twitter. I'll retweet him. Awesome Rob 029.
Twitch. I don't know what the hell it is. It's the future. It's a streaming site. Twitch.tv. Where it's another outlet for people to stream their lives, basically. It started mostly with video games. Am I getting this all correct? Stop me if I'm saying anything.
I think you're 100%, sir.
And now it has kind of spilled over into everything. And you want us on Twitch.
I want to try and get us, by the grace of God, on Twitch.
Why can't we just get on it? How do you got to get on it?
I think we are. And we're working on how to stream our stuff and get content on there. If you want to check out our channel, we've put up a placeholder. Our digital guru, John Lauer, shout out. Where the hell is this damn thing?
Urine sample. 98 Rock Baltimore.
98 Rock Baltimore is our Twitch channel. So it's Twitch and they use a .tv. .tv/98 Rock Baltimore. Let me tell you a tale. A tale by the name of Tyler Blevins, otherwise known as Ninja. He manages to earn $500,000 per month.
A month!
A month! Not a year.
A month!
A month playing Fortnite. He confirmed to a Forbes contributor that he was making more than $500,000 a month streaming Fortnite on Twitch. Mm-hmm. A lot of the income is derived from Amazon Prime subscribers who are allowed to donate to his Twitch channel and his 5 million subscribers on YouTube. It's Fortnite's the game right now. Fortnite rules the world. That's it. We've lost one of our children. He's just buried in Fortnite all day long. We threatened to take it from him. You thought we were going to take a chainsaw to his legs when he thought he wasn't going to be allowed to play Fortnite. And he's not very good at it. But still, he was freaked out we were going to take it from him.
Take it from him.
We ought to have a whole separate Fortnite conversation at some point. But anyways, people stream games. They'll stream other competitive games, Call of Duty matches, Overwatch is a big one, and they're making money. And I want us to stay, current, I want us to stay relevant. I want us to stay on the cusp, all right? No moss gathers on a rolling stone, and folks, I'm going to roll this stone downhill, kicking and screaming. So Twitch, I want to figure out how it works. I want to know what to do. I sound like an old guy saying, teach me about the Drake.
We got 12 followers already.
Hell yeah, we do. Let's get it to be 50 by tomorrow, 100 by the weekend, and 1,000 by the end of the month. I don't know how the donation stuff works. You can. It's an app. It's a website. It's twitch.tv. And people, by the way, it's built into your PlayStation. It's built into my Xbox.
Oh, I got the Twitch on my PlayStation.
It's there. You just, there's this app. You click it. It's free, and that's it. You could just start watching Twitch streams of people playing games. Because you get some of these people out there that are just the LeBron James of Fortnite, where they're jumping off a cliff, ripping off 3 headshots, they land behind some dude, get a melee kill, and build a tower in 10 seconds. And it's just a marvel to watch some of these people play. The same way you'd watch an incredible boxer or a fighter or a soccer player or a LeBron or a, you know, New England Patriots. It's like watching these people at the pinnacle of what they do. It's wild. People are saying, Justin, get on Twitch. I don't have the time anymore. I just had to quit my wrestling podcast. Let's go to the phones. Mike and Frederick, you've been holding for quite some time. You are on Twitch. What do you do? What do you play?
What does that mean? What does it mean you're on Twitch?
I usually play Battlefield, first-person shooters, stuff like that.
So what does it mean, like Scott said, what does it mean that you're on Twitch? What do you do?
So you're playing a Battlefield video game and you're streaming it over this Twitch.
Correct.
And how many people are watching you? How many people are even watching you? Why do I care to watch you?
Well, the most that I've had is about 82 to about 100.
Wow.
But people watch just to see, you know, different people's gameplay, whatnot, if you're doing like a walkthrough, stuff like that, you know, through the game to help you beat the game over and over.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Good. Correct me if I'm wrong also that you can be one of two types on Twitch. You either get on and you are the Jordan Spieth of Call of Duty. You're incredible. Or who cares how good you are, but you're funny and personality driven to where you'll have people that'll get on. And for all they know, they could suck.
He's
but they're funny,
funny
to watch, and
funny.
You'll watch him. Mike, are you funny, or are you good? Which category
neither.
Do you fall under?
He's neither.
Neither. Well, wow, Scott, thanks. But, no, so, I mean, it depends. It ranges on what I'm doing that day. If, like, I'm having a off day, I could be funny, whatnot. But more or less, like, when it came to when I started out, I started on Battlefield. So, you know, and it kind of just trickled from there. And then, you know, from there, it kind of just went to, okay, here comes 2 people now, 3 people now, 4 people, and then all of a sudden you get a jump in the people that are viewing you. And, yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. There's another game called Rocket League, which is like,
I know that.
You seen that? It's a bunch of like RC cars bumping a ball into a goal.
Well, they have the big tournaments.
Yeah, they're talking like there's going to be a Fortnite tournament coming up with $100 million in prizes. It's insane. We got someone on the phone here speaking of that game. Wayne in Pasadena, you say your son is on Twitch and he's one of the best kids in the country at Fortnite.
Yeah, he's 8 years old and we upload his videos to, I haven't got him on Twitch yet. I just now found out, really got seen what he can do and how many followers he has on YouTube for it.
Right.
I mean, not YouTube, Instagram, uh-huh. And some of the stuff that he can do at that age is just crazy how he builds. Like,
that's what people look at is on how, like, how good you build or able to build.
There's like a building thing in Fortnite where you can like build forts and stuff like that. Now, let me ask you, Wayne, is this okay? Is he really one of the best in the country, or is it like the guy that's on the sideline watching their kid flop and flail in a soccer game saying, oh, no, he's great, but you know he'll never make it to the World Cup?
Nah, if you, I mean, for 8 years old, he's like, he's got like maybe 120 wins. He's always in the top 10. Every time I watch him, he just won four games back to back.
Wow.
To back.
Okay. That's an impressive feat, knowing that game. All right, get his ass on Twitch. Start making money. Chris in Owings Mills is on Twitch. He says he's a huge advocate.
Yes, I am, and that's true. Twitch is more than just video games, too. People stream sports. People stream music. Big tournament platforms are also on Twitch, too, for professional teams who compete for millions of dollars, as you said. I've been on Twitch as a watcher for about 5 years.
Whoa, look at you.
I've seen this website and community grow.
Yeah, right.
And I think you guys too can also probably have a good base plate of viewers to go on stream too, as long as you're consistent. And as people say, as long as you are entertaining and also good at the games that you play, people will come and watch your stream.
NFL announced 2018 games are coming to Amazon Prime, and a part of that deal is there is now a twitch.tv/NFL. NFL games are coming to Twitch.
Wow, it is the future.
This is it, man. This is a place we need to be. And like our man Chris said, thank you, Chris, for the call. You got to be consistent, too. You can't just like, I'll do it 1 month, the next month I'll do it twice, and then I'll drop off. You got to treat it like the way we treat this show. Monday through Friday, we start at 5:30, we're done at 10. If we're going to do a stream, we start like Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Every Wednesday, we do a 30-minute something.
Mike, get us on Twitch.
Get us on Twitch.
Gag Order Anderson, Twitch, yes. Now.
Can we Twitch him on there? Mike, Twitch is where you will be heard.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Coming up, you're going to hear a brand new Spiegel childhood memory, an awful one, they tend to be. This one involving him serving his father ice cream and him touching it and his grandfather being repulsed by it. But you'll also hear towards the end of it, you teased earlier in the year that you had six brand new horrible childhood memories that have come bubbling to the surface.
Yeah, that's
right. But we only got five. And Mike mouths that one of them was too similar to an old one.
Oh, right, yeah.
Can you give us a little behind the curtain peek as to one that will not make air or might not make air? It involved a block party?
Yes. It was the one that's not making air involved me just talking about my neighbors used to have a block party every weekend for many, many years, and I never went because of
block party every weekend.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
like a
much
once a year thing.
Yeah, it was really strange, and I was, you know, too socially awkward and anxious to go, so I always missed out on that. And that was too similar, I guess. Mike decided that it was too similar to
the barbecue one.
The barbecue one.
The famous
one.
Barbecue, yeah. Where your father promised that you could go.
Right.
And then, I believe, got close and then just kept on driving.
Yeah,
and
that's
said,
right.
Let's go home and have some crunchy pizza covered in gross vegetables.
Very traumatic.
Do you think maybe we can just veto Mike's executive producer powers and still do the damn things?
Oh,
I
you
think
know,
it's different enough.
I would trust Mike's instincts.
Done and done. His instincts are stupid. We're going to go ahead and put this on coming up. But here, a new one revealed this week, a new horrible Spiegel's childhood memory.
And now, another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
My grandfather asked for chocolate ice cream.
Can I get some of that chocolate ice cream, Joshy?
So I removed a pint from the freezer. I put it on the kitchen counter and grabbed a bowl. I proceeded to shovel one scoop while holding part of it with the spoon and the other part of it with my finger. My grandfather saw my finger touching the ice cream and was repulsed.
Oh, God.
He said, "It's okay, Josh. I'll just get some later.
It's okay. I'll get some later.
Devastated, with my feelings hurt, I ran to my room. Moments later, my mother knocked on the door and said, Josh, come downstairs. Your grandfather's leaving, and you don't know how long he's going to live.
This has been another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
Did you see him again after that?
Jesus, man.
Yeah, I saw
okay,
him.
Okay, good.
Oh, thank God.
Couple more times.
Oh,
the God last damn, time. I thought the old man died.
He died of a broken heart and an empty tummy. All right.
Well, what's happening?
Oh, sorry, I just turned up something I shouldn't have.
It's becoming more and more clear that he doesn't want people walking behind him in the hallway because the kid in the school said he had a scrawny ass. Uh-huh. He doesn't like a lot of fancy, out-of-whack food because his dad would pile a lot of weird things together.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like people putting fingers on his Diet Coke and touching things, and he won't eat things after people have touched it because of this now.
I think this is it. This is the puzzle piece.
Yeah. I didn't think about that last one. That wow.
All of these memories that are flooding back to you directly correlate to something that is now happening in your adult life.
Doing the opposite.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, how many times did you get handed a Diet Coke and you wouldn't drink it because a finger was on the wrong part of the can or something?
Too many.
Same
to
exact thing.
Yeah. How many
the
times?
The finger was on the ice cream.
Have
Grandpa
you ever
didn't want it.
Ask me to. No, go ahead, Justin. Walk by me. Please walk by me in the hallway. We're going to the meeting together as a group. No. Scott, Josh, Mike, Sam, walk ahead of me, please.
Yeah, because I know Justin's not only going to look at my ass, but analyze it in the most sexual ways.
He ain't wrong. And then now you hear this new memory.
Yeah.
Did your grandfather, was he known as someone that didn't like people touching his skin?
No. He was very laid back, very nice guy. So that's what was, it was shocking. I was shocked.
Wow.
And just didn't expect him to say that. And I was hurt. And I ran to my room like a baby.
She had to tack on the, you'll never know how much longer he'll be alive.
Yeah.
How old was he at the time?
About 79.
Well, okay. We're kind of in the window.
Yeah.
We're kind of a, each day is a gift. Oh, man.
Died about a year later.
Oh, wow. On the anniversary of his death each year, you and I, Scott, Josh, Mike, everyone in the building, scoops of chocolate ice cream. And we'll eat it with our fingers. Oh, buddy.
And, I mean, this is the same. Well, my grandmother, his wife, was the one who, remember I told the story about her choking in that very same kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And she turned out to be fine, but then the next day I wrote up first aid instructions and somebody took them down from the wall.
What are these doing up here?
So maybe that's why I will never perform first aid on anyone.
Oh, man.
See?
Not even mouth to mouth, mouth to anything. Oh, trust me. Each time you and I go for a hike in the woods, I pray a snake bites me in the penis. Yeah, that's probably why you don't like people touching your stuff. I don't think it's a cleanliness thing. I think it drums up the memory of your grandfather that day and the possibility of his passing being accelerated because you touched his briars. Like, how much, like, you talking like fingertip? Or like just a...
He probably had it on the... He's just balancing it like on the scoop, you know, so it didn't fall off the spoon.
Yeah, like I had... You know, it was really frozen. I had the spoon in the carton.
Gotcha.
And I think as I pulled out the spoon with the ice cream on it, my finger just touched the ice cream on the spoon and he saw it.
It's like when you're like slicing a piece of cake for someone and you don't want it to like fall off. You just kind of... Maybe balance it with a finger.
Yeah. Use your finger.
Eat the damn ice cream. Eat the cake. Who cares?
Come on. And it's not like Josh was a dirty child. How old were you?
Probably about 11.
Ah, okay. So this was a year after you started to regularly wash your ass.
Yes.
Gotcha.
That's correct.
See? We're at a clean speak. Like if a 9-year-old Spiegel's doing this, I'm like, I'll have some pie. But an 11-year-old Josh, you're as fresh as the fallen snow. God, old people are stubborn, always dying on us. All right, well, there you go. Another horrible Josh Spiegel childhood memory. Another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, man.
I think
we have more in the pipeline.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Do we? Oh, I was kidding. I wasn't going to ask Mike, but
that's a thumbs up, Mike. Thumbs down.
What?
Not in the pipeline?
Really?
Hold on, he's going to the whiteboard.
I thought there were six. Didn't I record something
Gag order
like
Anderson,
six?
That's his last one.
Was the last one?
Are you sure?
Because we've had a lot. If you think about it, we've had scrawny ass.
Mike, can you tell us all six, Mike? You will need to write it down. It might take some time, but go ahead. Write them down.
Yeah, quickly. Write them down for us. And by the way, towards the end of the year, we put together our best moments, our compilations, highlights. There needs to be an hour-long block of just nightmarish Josh Spiegel.
Why? Are you trying to bum everybody out?
Right on Christmas Day. Right on Christmas Day. As the kids are opening their presents.
Driving off cliffs.
Yeah.
Hold on. Mike,
I want you to feel what we felt.
Mike is writing down. He has to write because gag order Anderson. So this might take a minute. Bear with us, listeners. Mike is going to tell us what the latest batch, all of the ones in the latest batch. Just let him write.
God, could you write faster?
This is what it's come to now.
It's almost done.
Oh, man, it looks sloppy, too.
Look at that. Okay.
And we have the Cadbury egg. You always wanted one. You never got one. The dirty desk where your dad flipped the desk. The frozen bread. Why is the frozen bread one an awful childhood memory? If your dad liked that, so what?
No, it's super gross, man. That's awful.
Oh, scrawny ass. That was in the new batch.
Uh-huh.
And then the ice cream.
The ice cream.
Oh, all right. I don't know. You might want to double check. There might be one more.
Trust me, I bet there was a sixth.
Oh, one more?
Oh, there is one more. Okay.
There was, but
you already did it.
Like outside of the...
Okay.
What was it? Just out of curiosity.
No, he's got to write that down, too. Gag order Anderson. The barbecue. Wanting to go to the barbecue and never going.
Sounds like barbecue. Rip, two syllables. One syllable. Barbecue, neighborhood barbecue.
The block party? The block party is different than the barbecue.
Oh, two different things.
Two different things.
Okay, I thought.
If it's the block party one, that's different from the barbecue.
Too similar.
You thought it was too similar.
All right. I mean, look, if that's what you think.
Even with the ball gag in, there's still an agenda.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Coming up, you're going to hear a break that we did with Jonathan Neely, esports coach, Stevenson University. And this is going to be the most basic question. I can't believe I didn't ask it. What's the E stand for? Electronic?
Yeah.
Is that what that stands for?
Mm-hmm.
God, I feel like I should have known that. Like email, electronic mail. Did he say it?
Yeah.
Maybe I might have missed it.
Email, e-sport.
Fingers crossed, man. There's a young man in my house right now that I don't think is going to be the next Jackie Joyner, Kersey, or Larry Bird. But for all we know, he keeps playing Smash Brothers. I also meant to ask him about scholarships.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you can't go ahead and think these kids are going to make $1 million playing video games, right? Like, it's possible, but not.
You got to be in the top
1%. Not probable, but if you can parlay this playing video games into a scholarship where you get into a good school and they pay for your schooling.
Holy hell, that's a win right there. You go there because you're amazing at Rocket League, but then while you're there, you get an engineering degree.
That's a win. Most college athletes and people in high schools that are playing sports and are good at sports, once you reach a certain level and you realize, okay, wait a minute, there's something to this. Let me keep working at this and make myself desirable to these schools, and you get your freaking school paid for. Now you can do it with video games.
You're, of all the games you've ever played, from 8-year-old Scott to current day Scott, what would be the game you were best at that you would most likely have, had you never stopped playing it, you would have gotten a scholarship for?
None of them? I'm a terrible video game player. Ask any of my friends in college. We played NHL 97 nonstop.
97 was the
jam. Or maybe it was 96. I don't know what year it was.
98 was awesome. 97 was great. Shout out Patrick Waugh and the Avalanche.
It was probably 95. Well, we were in college, so I'd be... Whatever it was, we kept records when we had all of our names loaded onto the game, and it kept records, and we would all just play Winner Stays On. I was the worst. I mean, the worst.
There
I
was
just
a
couldn't
guy
play it.
That came into the video game exchange. If you're listening, Pete, Dave, Les, my old friends and coworkers, current listeners of our show, there's a guy that now maybe in hindsight was ahead of his time, but there was this old man. We hated this guy. He was such a bastard, but he'd come in and would ask for baseball games on the Sega Genesis, like MLB, Tony La Russa baseball, Lasorda baseball. And what this guy was old. I mean, he was in his 60s in the early 90s. He wanted to buy video games that he could watch the computer play the computer. He bought a Genesis to hook up to watch the game play itself. And he'd watch it like a baseball game. This guy was that deep into baseball and even electronic baseball that out of season, he just watched the computer play itself and would like take stats.
That's odd.
That's really weird. But hey, these days, video game watching is where it's at. We talked to a guy that helps coach the people that you might watch, Jonathan Neely, esports coach from Stevenson University, on Behind the Curtain.
And we got a guest joined in studio by Jonathan Neely, esports coach. Jonathan Neely, esports coach, Stevenson University.
This is so fascinating.
Oh, there's a lot to unpack here.
There's a lot to unfold and lay out before us and aim a hairdryer at it. The conversation got started when we got talking about Twitch. We're trying to get the show on Twitch. I might get myself on Twitch. It's a whole thing. People started talking to us about that dude, Ninja, the guy that makes the money off of Fortnite, played with Drake.
Oh, yeah, he's really, really popular right now. He's probably one of the main reasons that Fortnite has blown up so much. He has around 5 million subscribers.
God, making a half a mil a month off
What's
of that game.
What's the game now? Why can't I think of the name of it?
Fortnite.
It's on ESPN. Or one of the sports networks.
There's a couple of them.
The one with the cars where you hit the ball.
Oh, Rocket League.
Rocket League is now on. It's a video game where you compete on teams to like use your little remote control cars to hit a ball into a net, and it's on sports channels.
Yeah.
They have highlights of the thing. They have highlights the way that like LeBron will leap over a dude's head and dunk on his ass.
Yeah.
They're showing like these RC cars doing corkscrew hits on goal and slide it past two defenders. And you, Jonathan Neely, reached out to us from Stevenson University when we had the Twitch discussion, saying that you are an e-sports coach. You sent us pictures. You sent us confirmation.
That room is insane, by the way.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we did a lot of work on that. Our administration did a lot of work with the background of a lot of other colleges like Maryville, RMU.
So I was going to say, you work at Stevenson, right?
Yeah.
But you're an esports coach at Stevenson, but that means there has to be other universities that are doing this because you need someone to play against.
Yeah, so right now the Midwest is like kind of the hot spot for esports. There's roughly around, I would say, a little over two dozen schools. The number one, the top five teams right now are Robert Morris University, Columbia, Maryville. Most of those are private institutions within the Midwest that are competing at a high level and bringing in a lot of high talent recruits.
Can you explain a concept to me that it seems, it's head scratching in its practice, but maybe I get it. There's houses. There's esports team homes that people will move into to live together and play together. They're almost like barracks. You get a good Overwatch team, a good Dota team, a good a group of folks that play COD. They will literally all move into a house. Scott, when I tell you it looks like one of the real world homes that MTV would trick out with all this crazy garbage, they all will live in these things, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's more in the pro scene. Of course, college, you're already kind of living with each other in dorms. And we keep our room open regularly. But in the pro scene, you have almost these huge compounds. There's a company called CLG, Counterlogic Gaming, that have this huge development of all their platforms, including League of Legends, Call of Duty, Counter-Strike, every single game that they participate in, that they've bought these compounds and house all their players. They have professional chefs, personal trainers that make sure that all their athletes can perform at a high level without any type of mindset issues.
Wow, man, these people, it's like the same way that over at the Under Armour Performance Center over at the castle, they got people, you know, putting Flacco back together, making sure Tucker's at his tip-top best, making sure Suggs is playing like a man 10 years
just like any
junior.
Other sport. Because who's Lulu,
Lulu,
a woman that works
out
kind of in the same
What's
sports
up,
department at Stevenson? She's like, oh, I know Jonathan. She goes, I'm with the field hockey team. And it's weird to think about. It's esports, right? I guess it's a sport, but it's, you know, you think about like field hockey, and like you're saying, rebuilding players and fixing knees and ankles and stuff. But it's, they're all lumped together now.
Do you get the respect that other athletes?
Yeah, how's everyone?
You got a lacrosse player next to a baseball player next to a Halo player.
So right now it's kind of the wild west.
Is it a little head scratching for other people at the university?
Yeah, a lot of people are like, "What is actual esports?" And I have to explain to them that it's high level competitions through video games, electronic sports.
Yeah.
And that a lot of other diversities that you have to go through in any other traditional sport, like communication, maturity issues, organizational problems, and then, of course, time management because they're college athletes.
Ooh, back up 1 second. Hit me with that maturity issue right there. Yeah, what are you dealing with there? Are you dealing with a bunch of...
How many fits have been thrown?
So I don't want to be a tank! I don't want a tank! I want to be a damage dealer!
I told you to take the right side!
I don't want to take the right side! Quit stealing all the health packs! Mom!
Health packs!
Yeah, it's... It's definitely a lot of kids come in with their own type of play style, and you have to integrate them per, I guess, what strategy you want to go on an onset before a tournament. That's one of the main things that I work with them with is communication and divulging any type of internal issues between the players.
Yeah.
Because they're just like any other athlete, they're going to be conflicting attitudes.
League of Legends, is that the big sport you guys play? Is it a game? Is it a sport?
It's a MOBA. It's a massive online battle arena is the actual specific game type. And it's the most popular esport currently internationally. It has roughly 290 million fan base.
Can I tell you what's incredible about watching some of these matches too, Scott, is you'll hear the commentators.
Mm-hmm.
For these sports.
Sportscasters.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, they're as good as like a Summerall and a Madden going back and forth that they know what's coming up. Like, all right, they're going up the rough side of the map. All right, they got themselves a health pack. Looks like he's going to cast Intimidating Shout. Here he goes. Two Paladins flanking off to the right. Oh, God, there's a Wyvern.
That's
Wyvern
a coming in.
It's the commentating is as good as regular, I say regular, you know, accepted ball sports.
Yeah.
Now, are these PC games?
The majority of the... I would say it's about 50-50 cut. The spectator sports are mainly PC games, I've found, just because they have a higher player base. But they're just as popular. Like, for instance, the Texas Rangers just built a facility in Arlington that is like multi-million dollar, close to what the Cowboys Stadium looks like. And
what do you mean? Why did they build it? They're a baseball team.
So they're... They're a conglomerate of multiple different esports companies. So, for instance, I know Robert Kraft bought an Overwatch team.
So this is getting like super legit.
Rick Fox, a well-known basketball player, his son got him into esports, and now he is one of the largest esports companies out there. He dabbles in almost every single game and platform known to man. So.
This is a new generation. Again, we're talking to Jonathan Neely, esports coach at Stevenson University, where in years past, generations past, Josh's, myself, that it was a, hey, come on, put down the damn controller and head outside. There's nothing you're going to be able to do with that unless you become like a game designer or a programmer or something like that. Sure, there were underground parties and people having kind of unofficial competitions. But now with them filling stadiums and having esports programs, you've got stuff on ESPN, Twitch is exploding. There's now a really viable route for the kid, the old-fashioned indoor kid, to carve a life for themselves if they get good at this stuff.
Yeah, and right now there's still a bit of a stigma associated with video games. A lot of parents still are bending the idea with letting their kids play video games instead of going out and playing baseball baseball or football or any type of outside activity. When a lot of these kids are introverts and rather stay inside and hang out with their buddies online and grind out some games.
You ever witness an injury? You ever seen anybody dislocate a thumb during a heated match?
I've heard a lot of carpal tunnel injuries circulation problems, blood clots, all kinds of stuff.
Like, you hear those stories about people hanging out in, like, Korean internet cafes playing Lineage, and then they go check on them 3 days later, and they're just a corpse.
Yeah, yeah. That's mainly because of the energy drink consumption, as far as a lot of kids go. They don't know how to regulate it, so I kind of could give a 2-drink maximum whenever we're at practice, because I don't want them stroking out on me.
Oh, wow.
So, see, that's a concern.
Yeah.
What do you say? I got a text here that says, quote-unquote, sports. I play, and it's not a sport. How do you defend against it? You must get that a lot.
It really depends on what kind of mentality you're going into it. A lot of these kids put a lot of hours in, and they take it just as serious as any other sport, and it depends on what kind of game you're in. Most competitive sports aren't individual sports, or individual esports. For instance, most of the popularized video games are 5v5 or 2v2, 3v3. They're in multiples.
You're talking like five players versus two versus three. Yeah, you're going to have to talk to us like we're Amish, man.
Sorry. But it's mainly you're going to find group team sports. So it's always going to be 5v5, five players versus five players. And you don't see, like, Tekken or Street Fighter, the only ones that you really see that you're going to see one person versus another. And those aren't nearly as publicized as the team-based esports.
How do you get into your program the same way that a college scout will send out someone to middle schools and high schools to be like, hey, that's going to be the next Jordan, that's going to be the next Flacco?
Yeah, you're recruiting and scouting.
How do you find people?
So, just as I mentioned previously, we have a bunch of websites that track individual statistics, and there's also a couple scouting sites that you can use called Be Recruited. That allows you to students to upload videos of highlights and statistics and even their academic record. That's one of the things that I implement very strongly, because you are, in fact, a college student. So you do have a career that you need to be looking out outside of esports.
Gotcha. So it's the same way that they always tell collegiate athletes, hey, get your degree.
Yeah.
So when you blow your knee out year one, you got something you could fall back on. Like, hey, should you get carpal tunnel, your arm turns black and falls off, you're not going to be playing Counter-Strike anymore. You should maybe go with that engineering career.
Yeah, because right now the average age for esports athletes are around 18 years old. And the youngest one was signed last year. He was exactly 18 to a pro team.
Let's go to the phones. Let's see who's hanging on right now. Let's talk to on line one. Wyatt has been holding. Wyatt, good morning, Bray.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Right.
Josh, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I am a collegiate athlete, and I guess I have a question for Jonathan. Like, what's the difference? But like, so what we call a debate team a sports team, or maybe people that are in a spelling bee a sports team? Like, I just don't know where the cutoff's at.
So
I'm sensing a tone. I'm sensing a bit of a tone.
So I believe it or not, I have a lot of dual athlete players. I have kids that play sports that also do esports.
Yeah.
That kind of balance both, because they don't like, they actually still want to stay semi-regularly active. But it's the separation can be because there's actual physical exertion as far as this sport, because some kids perform up to 2,000 actions between both hands.
Damn. Ditto every day around 12:30.
Yeah, I'm a pervert. Between clicking and panning on your computer, hand-eye coordination is still a big part of it.
Yeah, though you might be in the seated position, I got to think the hand-eye coordination, the twitch.
Is NASCAR a sport?
Great question. See,
yeah, I mean, it's, come on.
It's competition. The sport is competition.
Yeah.
I mean, sport, I'd like to define sport in a roundabout way as you attempting to achieve a goal while preventing an opponent from achieving the same goal.
Yeah.
All right, there's prevention. Chess team, yeah, maybe in a way. Debate, maybe not so much. But I think this is. Let's go to another call here. Let's talk to Chris on line two. Chris, good morning. You're on with Jonathan Neely, esports coach.
No problem, guys. Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
Morning, what bud? Up?
Morning, Josh.
How are you?
Good morning. Question for you guys, especially for Jonathan, I believe. As in, with an esports community that we have here in North America, and that we're trying to compete and be in the top country against China, Korea, and Europe,
tough.
What do you think we as an esports community need to do to improve our skill level and mentality
to be able to compete up to par with these
Whoa.
Teams.
God, this guy's in a
so,
game.
Question.
For coming from the league background, a lot of the issues that the North American teams have is patience. They have a lot of issues with kind of jumping the gun and making the quote unquote play, the being the playmaker. We're really flashy as far as how we want to make our plays.
Yeah.
When other regions like North Korea, China, they're very methodical. They're aggressive in the moves that they make, but they're all calculated.
They're more team-based than individual. I mean, let's be honest. You got that American flash and swagger from sports to acting to music is to where you get some of the Asian countries that are a little bit more for the greater good.
Yeah, they'd rather win 7 championships than win 1 and have a couple MVPs.
I gotcha. Let's go to another call here. Let's talk to Keith on line 3. Keith, good morning. You're on with Jonathan Neely from Stevenson University.
Morning, Justin, Josh, and Jonathan. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Scott's here.
Well, you can go F yourself.
Jonathan, I was wondering, I know you were mentioning like the eSport arena games and stuff, but what about like Gran Turismo and like Formula One, which are both FIA licensed?
Right now, I haven't seen a huge market in racing platforms. I know that it's mainly like a lot of team-based games, so if an individual racer comes out, they'd have to create a competitive platform for it to be a spectator sport.
Yeah, like racing games are individual games, but like League of Legends and these other games are, you know, they're kind of a team and you work together and you coordinate. You all have the headsets on and all your computers are synced up and you're all playing the same game. Why not like a sports game?
So there actually is a huge platform in NBA 2K currently.
And Madden, man. I know Madden goes
NBA
nuts
just,
for it.
NBA 2K just had an actual physical draft where they drafted esports athletes into 5-man teams for each of their NBA actual clubs. So the NBA dropped millions of dollars, brought people into a huge stadium just like you see in the NFL draft, and pretty much called them up by name, gave them a jersey, and they were like, you're a part of the Celtics esports club. And now each individual player is a position on a basketball team, but through NBA 2K.
Here's what differs esports from your standard ball sports. Football is football. Basketball is basketball. But you're playing that Dota, you're playing League of Legends, people play Fortnite. In 5 years, they won't be. It's going to be an all-new game. They'll still be esports athletes, but the sport itself just keeps changing with releases of new games. That's what sort of sets it apart, is that you have to go and get good.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
What if
for
you're
like
super,
fans?
Yeah, what if you're super into Street Fighter and then it just goes away after a while?
Usually there's other platforms or other games that you can kind of assimilate yourself into based on your preference, really. Like if you like fighting games, you'll probably get into... I'll probably say League, because it's still that level of violence that you like to watch, and it's at a fast pace where you're trying to keep track of everything.
I'm telling you, you want to do a retro night, you want to fire up some Virtua Fighter 2 on the Saturn, I will get in that ass. I will run the table with Virtua Fighter 2. That's one of the only games I've ever been good at. Thank you, Jonathan Neely, esports coach, Stevenson University. Again, people want to reach out about finding out about your program. Where do they do it?
Right now, you have to, we have, our Twitter page is SU_esports. And we are slowly getting our, esports website up on the, Stevenson's, academic page.
Appreciate it, man.